RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First headlines. PT Dirgantara Indonesia focuses in building airplanes. Indonesian Traditional Mining Association support national resilience. Indonesia, Vietnam look to blaze trail for solar in Southeast Asia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has officially opened the Indo Defense Exhibition 2016 at Jakarta International Expo in Kemayoran, Jakarta, Wednesday. The Defense Exhibition is held from November 2 until 5, 2016. After visiting some booths at the Defense Exhibition, Vice President told media that he expected the exhibition of defense equipment can be followed by other countries. The Vice President also highlighted one of national defense industries PT Dirgantara must focus in establishing type of airplane so that it can produce excellent product which can compete it in the global level.
Iya, memang PT DI bahwa harus fokus, jangan ingin semua, jangan begitu banyak tipe pesawat yang mau dibikin.
PT Dirgantara Indonesia must focus in a certain type of plane to avoid problem how to sell it. The most complicated thing is how to maintain it after service. It also must focus on certain type of component. If we never improve national defense product, we always depend on other countries. Therefore, we must look at this exhibition not only to purchase it, but also to invite other countries to do the same activity. Moreover, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indo Defense Exhibition 2016 is not only to encourage the readiness of war, but also to create world peace. Meanwhile, Indo Defense 2016 is participated in by 844 participants from 573 foreign companies and 271 national companies. They exhibit the defense products and security with modern technology. Indonesian Traditional Mining Association APRI has a lot of workers in many provinces in Indonesia. Their existence can decrease the number of unemployment, so it can increase people's economy. It was said by Chairman of APRI, Gatot Sugiarto, to the press after the second Congress of Indonesian Traditional Mining in Jakarta Tuesday. He further said the Indonesian Mining Traditional Association has big potential that will be able to maintain the national resilience.
Tambang rakyat akan menjaga lingkungan. Kelompok terbesar terdepan yang akan menjaga
traditional mining is the biggest and the leading group that will protect environment. The traditional mining could open employment, so the government should not spend budget or set various programs. The government has only to legalize the traditional mining. Indonesian Traditional Mining Association could provide 5 million jobs. It can also develop a turnover of more than 100 trillion rupiah so that people can pay taxes, royalty, or retribution of more than 10 trillion rupiah. This is big economic potential. The traditional mining is spread across Indonesia. This is in accordance to the government's strategy of equitable development. Traditional mining develops Indonesia from rural areas, not in cities. It can strengthen national resilience.
Meanwhile, geology researcher from the Australian Charles Darwin University, Sarah Hopkin, who also attended the Congress, said Indonesia has big potential of mining. She expressed hope that the Indonesian government can support the Indonesian Traditional Mining Association, APRI, so it can make positive impact for Indonesian economy. Indonesia and Vietnam are looking to join Thailand in blazing a trail for solar power in Southeast Asia, introducing targets to fire up green energy generation as a landmark global agreement to curb pollution is set to take effect. Countries around the world are coming under increasing pressure to crack down on carbon emissions from sectors such as coal-fired power stations, with the historic Paris Climate Accord coming into force this Friday after it was signed last year. Indonesia and Vietnam aim to each have annual solar power capacity of at least 5 gigawatts from 2020, up from close to nothing now, officials from both governments told Reuters. That level of output would have placed the countries among the top 15 solar producers in the world in 2015, data from the International Renewable Energy Agency, and would account for close to 9% of expected power generation in Indonesia and Vietnam at the turn of the next decade. However, with initial cost traditionally seen as a big deterrent to solar projects, both Indonesia and Vietnam will be offering opportunities for subsidies via so-called feed-in tariffs, allowing producers to lock in sales of renewable energy at fixed prices for a few years. State-owned electricity company PTPL and Persero will stick to its plan to complete the financing of power plant construction projects with a total capacity of 18,000 MW until the end of the year. Imade Suprateka, PLN Corporate Communication Unit Head, said that the 35,000 MW program is 41% complete. He explained that financing has been secured for 5,000 megawatt power projects. The PLN said that guarantee for power plants project needs to be issued to the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, Japan International Cooperation Agency. PLN could generate $13 billion and €695 million loans for 5 years of financing. The PLN encourages private power developers to commence construction phase despite lack of financing. Mada said developers can use advance payment of 10% they already paid to the PLN. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The management of state-owned port operator PT Pelindo III has pledged its commitment to cooperate with law enforcers regarding the latter's investigation into alleged illegal levies that implicate one of the firm's executives. The government-sanctioned illegal levy task force on Tuesday arrested Pelindo III operations and business development director Rahmat Satria for his alleged role in illegal levies being charged at local port. The police claim that the investigation is so far focusing on Rahmat's role when he served as president director of PT Terminal Peti Kemas Surabaya, a Pelindo III subsidiary in charge of providing container loading and unloading services at Tanjung Perak, the country's second largest port, from 2013 to 2014. Echoing Pelindo's Rahmat, PKS spokesperson Erika Palupi also said that the company would respect the ongoing investigation process. Pelindo 3 operates in several provinces, namely East Java, Central Java, South Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, Bali, West Nusa Tenggara, and East Nusa Tenggara. A year-long study by global financial services firm JP Morgan and Singapore Management University has revealed that Indonesia lacks skilled workers due to the huge gap between academia and industry. The study found that educational institutions often do not train students to meet industry requirements. Indonesia's key growth sector, information and communications technology, sees many graduates who lack skills applicable to the industry. Indonesia has many low-skilled workers, but it is those with more skills who are needed to elevate the country's economy. According to the study, training graduates is not only the responsibility of the government and schools, but also of the private sector, especially large corporations. The study cites apprenticeship programs by companies such as Toyota Indonesia as a possible model. The government is also urged to relax rules on the employment of skilled foreign workers in key growth industries to attract more foreign investment. The unemployment rate among Indonesia's youth currently stands at more than 18%. The earnings of Indonesian companies as of September has revealed a patchy recovery in local firms as they continue along a bumpy road with persistently weak demand. However, efficiency and currency gains are compensating for financial pressures. The mixed result of the January to September financial performance of publicly listed firms is reflected in the performance of the benchmark Jakarta Composite Index, which has hovered around the 5,400 level for the past 2 weeks during corporate earnings announcement season. Indonesia's economy is expected to recover this year and reach a 5% growth rate from a 6-year low level of 4.79% last year. Financial revenues from interest on time deposits and plunging costs have also helped state owned miner Aneka Tambang or Antam prop up its earnings. The state-run miner reversed its losses amid sales that contracted by more than 28% and cost that dropped by almost 30%. The government's ongoing tax amnesty runs from July this year to next March and has seen nearly 3.9 quadrillion rupiah in assets declared, of which 143 trillion rupiah have been repatriated from overseas. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. PT Dirgantara Indonesia focuses in building airplanes. Indonesian Traditional Mining Association support national resilience. Indonesia, Vietnam look to blaze trail for solar in Southeast Asia. That was the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Yemen at the Brink of Breaking Apart. Until 1990, Yemen was two separate states. One was called Yemen Arab Republic and the other the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen. Before becoming two republics, this country had been an independent kingdom since the collapse of the Ottoman Caliphate in 1918. The kingdom, which had gone through two successions, ended after the revolution in the 1960s. Then came the Yemen Arab Republic and the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen. Yemen Arab Republic was born in 1960 and since 1970 was supported by Saudi Arabia, while the other country, the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen, being the only Arab country that adheres to socialist democracy in the Arab world, started up in 1967. The revolution in Yemen, which toppled the kingdom, was just gave birth to a split. However, after a long negotiations, the two countries of two different ideologies were finally united in 1990 under the name Republic of Yemen. Unfortunately, after 26 years of being one country, Yemen then entered a period of crisis triggered mostly by sectarian sentiment. This has been going on until now. North Yemen's region is dominated by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels, while South Yemen is supported by Saudi Arabia. Yemen's legitimate government under the leadership of Mansour Hadi is currently in exile in Saudi Arabia and plans to move to Aden, the former capital city of South Yemen. Houthi militant group itself is currently occupying the former capital of North Yemen, Sana'a. A Yemeni analyst, Fareha al-Muslimi, said the Houthi group realized it would not be able to conquer the south and choose to strengthen their base in the north. While the legitimate government wants Aden to become the administrative center, the intention does not run smoothly. Mansour Hadi's supporters, such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, do not want Yemen divided. Indonesia, as a friend of Yemen, also does not want it to happen. A politician of Hadi's supporter viewed the division in Yemen would spark instability in the region, but it seems to be the only choice now. The occurrence of history repeating itself in Yemen, namely mutual split, is not desirable. Indonesia, as a good friend of Yemen, can still play a role to bridge the Yemen conflict. Yet, even if separation should occur, it must be ascertained that no more bloody conflict that afflicts the nations of Yemen. Listener, that was commentary for today.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. Our first historical event occurred on November 2, 1920. The first commercial radio broadcast station in the world, KDKA, began to operate in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the United States. KDKA is a Class A or Clear Channel radio station, owned and operated by CBS Radio and licensed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Its studios is located at the combined CBS Radio Pittsburgh facility in the Foster Plaza on Holiday Drive in Greentree, and its transmitter site is at Allison Park. KDKA features a news talk format, operating with a transmitter power output of 50,000 watts. The station can be heard during daylight hours throughout central and western Pennsylvania, along with portions of the adjacent states of Ohio, West Virginia, and New York, plus the Canadian province of Ontario. Its nighttime signal covers much of eastern North America. KDKA has described itself as the pioneer broadcasting station of the world and traces its beginning initially using the temporarily assigned special amateur call sign of AZZ to its broadcast of 1920 Harding Cox presidential election results on the evening of November 2, 1920. Now, an incident of assassination of Vietnamese President Ngo Dinh Diem on November 2, 1963. The arrest and assassination of Ngo Dinh Diem, the president of South Vietnam, marked the culmination of a successful CIA coup of d'etat led by General Dong Van Minh in November 1963. On November 2, 1963, Diem and his advisor, his younger brother Ngo Dinh Nu, were arrested after the army and the Republic of Vietnam had been successful in a bloody overnight siege on Gia Long Palace in Saigon. The coup was the culmination of 9 years of autocratic and nepotistic family rule in South Vietnam. Discontent with the Diem regime had been simmering below the surface and exploded with mass Buddhist protests against long-standing religious discrimination after the government shooting of protesters who defied a ban on the flying of the Buddhist flags. The last event on November 2, 2000, two Russian cosmonauts and a U.S. astronaut arrived at the International Space Station. The International Space Station's ISS is a space station or a habitable artificial satellite in low Earth orbit. Its first component launched into orbit in 1998, and the ISS is now the largest artificial body in orbit and can often be seen with the naked eye from Earth. ISS components have been launched by Russian Proton and Soyuz rockets and American space shuttles. The ISS is the ninth space station to be inhabited by crews following the Soviet and later Russian Salyut, Almaz, and Mir stations, as well as Skylab from the US. The station has been continuously occupied for 15 years and 365 days since the arrival of Expedition 1 on November 2, 2000. This is the longest continuous human presence in low Earth orbit, having surpassed the previous record of 9 years and 357 days held by Mir. It has been visited by astronauts, cosmonauts, and space tourists from 17 different nations. ISS is a joint project of 16 countries, namely the United States, Russia, Japan, Canada, Brazil, and other 11 countries from the European Union. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Voice Green. Today, we'll talk about Indonesia reaffirms its commitment at the COP22. The Indonesian delegations will reaffirm their commitment to the Paris agreements related to combating climate change last year at the Conference of Parties COP22 in Marrakech, Morocco from November 7 to 18, 2016. On October 19, through a plenary session, the Indonesian House of Representatives finally endorsed the ratification of the Paris Treaty that made at COP21 on December last year. The Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya in Jakarta Friday, October 28, said the ratification became a strong social capital in proving Indonesia's commitment to prevent climate change. Minister Siti Nurbaya was optimistic the ratification will also act politically when the Indonesian delegation invited other countries to cooperate to fulfill the existing environmental agreements. The minister explained the ratification is also a form of Indonesia's commitment reinforcement to contribute in lowering 29% of greenhouse gas emissions done by Indonesia itself and 41% by cooperating with the international world. According to the Paris Agreement, each country should contribute to the lowering greenhouse gas emissions as outlined in the document of contribution nationally. Target of reducing greenhouse gas emissions will be achieved, among others, through forestry, energy including transportation, waste, industrial processes and product use, and agriculture. Minister Siti Nurbaya also stated at COP22, which will be held in Marrakech, Indonesian delegation will also highlight the mechanism of financing effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from 2020 to 2030 period. She added that one of the discussions at COP or COP is how the developed countries set up financing, technology and capacity building so that the commitments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions of developing countries will actually be implemented. On the occasion, Minister Siti Nurbaya reminded about the main principle in an effort of mitigation of global climate change. The principle become common but differentiated responsibilities and respective capabilities. Based on the principle, the developed countries have responsibilities to provide funds, capacity building, and transfer of technology to the developing countries. A day earlier, the Director General of Climate Change Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Nur Masripatin, in Jakarta confirmed the Indonesian delegation will highlight roadmap of financial mechanism, the effort of reducing greenhouse gas emissions from 2020 to 2030 period. Nur Masripatin also stressed developing countries want a clear roadmap on how the $100 billion allocation fund, which was promised at COP or COP21 in Paris in 2015, is actually provided by the developed countries. That was Voy Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has officially opened the Indo-Defense Exhibition 2016 at Jakarta International Expo in Kemayoran, Jakarta, Wednesday. The Defense Exhibition is held from November 2 until 5, 2016. Indonesian Traditional Mining Association, APRI, has a lot of workers in many provinces in Indonesia. Their existence can decrease the number of unemployment, so it can increase people's economy. He further said the Indonesian Mining Traditional Association has big potential that will be able to maintain the national resilience. Indonesia and Vietnam are looking to join Thailand in blazing a trail for solar power in Southeast Asia, introducing targets to fire up green energy generation as a landmark global agreement to curb pollution is set to take effect. State-owned electricity company PT PLN Persero will stick to its plan to complete the financing of power plant construction projects with a total capacity of 18,000 megawatt until the end of the year. Imada Suprataka, PLN Corporate Communication Unit, had said that the 35,000 megawatt program is 41% complete. The management of state-owned port operator PT Pelindo III has pledged its commitment to cooperate with law enforcers regarding the latest investigation into alleged illegal levies that implicate one of the firm's executives. A year-long study by global financial services firm JP Morgan and Singapore Management University has revealed that Indonesia lacks skilled workers due to the huge gap between academia and industry. The study found that educational institutions often do not train students to meet industry requirements. The earnings of Indonesian companies as of September has revealed a patchy recovery in local firms as they continue along a bumpy road with persistently weak demand. However, efficiency and currency gains are compensating for financial pressures. The mixed result of the January to September financial performance of publicly listed firms is reflected in the performance of the benchmark Jakarta Composite Index, which has hovered around the 5,400 level for the past 2 weeks during corporate earnings announcement season. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary arts, the fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to traditional weapon from the eastern province of Indonesia. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is rich of various arts and culture. One of Indonesian products is traditional weapon. In the past, besides protecting from enemy attack, traditional weapon is also used for farming and hunting. With its additional functions, this traditional weapon becomes identity of the nation which enriched the archipelago's culture. One of Indonesian traditional weapons is from Maluku, namely Parang Salawaku. Mm-hmm. Parang Salawaku is a pair of traditional weapon from Maluku which consists of parang, which long chopper, and sawalaku, which means my shield. In the past, this weapon was used for battle. Parang Salawaku is also the symbol of regional government of Ambon City, the capital city of Maluku. This traditional weapon is made from iron, which is forged as long as 1 meter. Its handle is made from iron or gapusa wood, while Salawaku is made from hard wood, which is coated with black color and decorated with tea seals. There are certain motifs which symbolize courage in this decoration. Salawaku has slim shape. The top and bottom positions are thicker than the handle. At the front side, it is slightly curved and equipped with handle at the back. The black color to coat Salawaku is made from root sap of tan. Listeners, for Maluku people, Parang Salawaku is the symbol of people's independence. When fighting against the Dutch colonial, Kapitan Patimura and his soldiers used those weapons. Today, Parang Salawaku becomes one of typical handicrafts of Maluku. Besides as decoration, Parang Salawaku becomes a tribute in Cakalele dance. Cakalele is Maluku's traditional war dance, which is used to welcome guests or traditional party. Parang is held by male dancer on right hand, which is symbolized bravery, while Salawaku is held on left hand to symbolize struggle to reach justice. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Parang Salawaku from Maluku. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Mengirim Surat Paket, which in English means sending mail package. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Mengirim, mengirim, which means to send. Selamat pagi, selamat pagi. Good morning. Kemana, kemana, which means where. Jerman, Jerman. Germany. Pos udara. Pos udara. Air mail. Surat tercatat. Surat tercatat. Express mail. Ringan. Ringan. Light. Biaya kirim. Biaya kirim. Mailing cost. Rp10.000. 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 Cina. Cina means China. Udara atau laut. Udara atau laut, which means air or sea. Butuh waktu berapa lama? Butuh waktu berapa lama? How long it takes? Kira-kira 3 minggu. Kira-kira 3 minggu. Approximately 3 weeks. Berapa biayanya? Berapa biayanya? How much the cost? Rp80.000. 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 Ini uangnya. Ini uangnya. Here is the money. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama. You are welcome. Timbang. Timbang. To weigh. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Mengirim Surat Paket, or in English means sending mail package. The conversation is between A. Lily and B. Post official. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Lily. Selamat pagi, Pak. Selamat pagi, Pak, which means good morning, sir. B. Post official. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi, which means good morning. A. Lily. Saya mau mengirim surat dan paket. Saya mau mengirim surat dan paket. I want to send mail and package. B. Post official. Mau dikirim kemana? Mau dikirim kemana? Where it will be sent? Lily. A. Ke Jerman. Ke Jerman, which means to Germany. B. Post official. Suratnya mau dikirim lewat pos udara atau surat tercatat? Suratnya mau dikirim lewat pos udara atau surat tercatat? The letter will be mailed by air or express mail. A. Lily. Lewat pos udara saja. Lewat pos udara saja. By mail post. B. B. Post official. Baiklah, saya timbang dulu. Suratnya tidak terlalu berat dan biaya kirim Rp10.000. Baiklah, saya timbang dulu. Suratnya tidak terlalu berat dan biaya kirim Rp10.000. Well, I waited first. The letter is not to wait. The mail cost is Rp10.000. A. Lily. Saya juga ingin mengirim paket ini. Saya juga ingin mengirim paket ini. I also want to send the package. B. Post official. Baiklah, kirim kemana? Baiklah, kirim kemana? Okay, where it will be sent? A. Lily. Ke China. Ke China. Which means to China. B. Post official. Pengirimannya lewat udara atau laut? Pengirimannya lewat udara atau laut? The shipment by air or sea? A. Lily. Melalui laut saja. Butuh waktu berapa lama ya? Melalui laut saja. Butuh waktu berapa lama ya? I will send by sea. How long it takes? B. Post official. Kira-kira 3 minggu. Kira-kira 3 minggu. It is about 3 weeks. A. Lily. Baiklah, berapa biaya untuk semua? Baiklah, berapa biaya untuk semua? Alright, how much is the cost for all? A. B. Post office. Semuanya Rp80.000. Semuanya Rp80.000. It is Rp80.000. A. Lily. Ini uangnya, terima kasih. Ini uangnya, terima kasih. Here is the money, thank you. Post office. Sama-sama. Sama-sama. You are welcome. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I'll present dangdut songs to you. Stay tuned.
Aduh Nyai, dengarkanlah cintaku tulus dan suci sama Nyai. Kalau kaca bisa pecah, kayu juga bisa patah. Tapi cinta bukannya tak akan bisa berubah. Sampai tua cintaku tak akan musnah. Cintaku kepada Nyai tak seperti sabun mandi. Apabila sering dipakai, makin habis, kurang wangi. Percayalah, cintaku sucikan Nyai. Walaupun Madonna cantik, Marilyn Monroe juga cantik, tetapi bagiku lebih cantik Nyai. Aku rela korban harta demi Nyai. Aku rela korban nyawa demi Nyai. Cintaku kepada Nyai tak seperti sabun mandi. Apabila sering dipakai, makin habis, kurang wangi. Percayalah, cintaku sucikan Nyai.
Aduh, bagaimana Nyai urusan ke Akang teh? Akang sudah habis-habisan. Asal tahu saja Nyai, sebelum isinya, lemarinya dulu Akang sudah jual demi Nyai. Jawab dong Nyai.
Ku jual baju celana, itu semua demi Nyai. Aku kerja jadi kuli demi Nyai. Walaupun Madonna cantik, Marilyn Monroe juga cantik, tetapi bagiku lebih cantik Nyai.
Aku rela korban harta demi Nyai. Aku rela korban nyawa demi Nyai. Kalau kaca bisa pecah, kayu juga bisa patah, tapi cinta ku kan Nyai tak akan bisa berubah. Sampai tua cintaku tak akan musnah.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Cinta Sabun Mandi, sung by senior dangdut singer Jaja Miharja, which was released in 1984. The song tells about the story of one hope of a couple lover, toward faithfulness of love. The song, which was composed by Nawawi MC. The musical arranger is work with pretty neat and unique. Beginning with a bamboo flute instrument, uniquely, in the middle of the song there is a kind of expression of love to the lover who sold everything he owned to get the beloved girl. At that time, the song Cinta Sabun Mandi is so popular and successful, brought by Jaja Miharja as a male dangdut singer in the country who was previously known as a movie player since 1973. Besides being known as a movie player and dangdut singer, Jaja Miharja also known as the host of dangdut music quiz Apa Antu. Through this dangdut quiz, he then more popular for his trademark greeting, Apa Antu. This remark has become an icon of Jaja Miharja until at present. Then he also released a song entitled Apa Antu in 1996. The song tells about disappointment of a person to the betrayal of the lover, but presented in a witty lyrics. Let's listen to the next song entitled Apa Antu by Jaja Miharja. Happy listening.
Mengapa teganya tinggalkan diriku merana? Aku merana.
Apa itu?
Apa itu?
Listener, the man was born on November the 1st, 1944, released his first album entitled Hianat Cinta in 1984. His best single entitled Putus Cinta also included in this album. The song tells about broken heart, the lyric is so pain. But when compared with pop music, the theme of a breakup in pop music will usually make the lyrics and the music was so wailing. But in this song, Jaja Miharja managed to take the other side of the breakup. The theme of breakup in the song is not necessarily become sinister, but instead invites laughter as the song is presented in witty lyrics. In addition to the song Putus Cinta in the album Hianat Cinta album, also contain the song Kawin Kredit, which tells about someone's sincerity of love. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hianat Cinta and Kawin Kredit by Jaja Miharja. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Ma. Takut, Ma.
mati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Neng Ija. Abang juga tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.